Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Kent to join us. Hopefully he'll join us soon. Amen.
Let's open up with a prayer. Amen. Lord God, we come to you, poor and yet rich, weak and yet strong, with the prayer that your promise may be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our dear Lord and Savior. Let the time come when the heavens open and the new light shines over the earth, a time when people will praise and thank you and receive everlasting peace and happiness with you. Remember the many people who come into need these days. Remember our nation and all who work for good of our country. Bless them and help them. And help the dying, O Lord our God. Grant that they come to you, for they are yours. Your help will bring life out of death, joy out of grief and need. May your name be honored, dear Father in heaven. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's play some great gospel music here. Okay, we're going to play One Way by Tamela Mann, then You're Bigger by Jacqueline Carr, and then we'll play Father Jesus Spirit by Fred Hammond. Amen. Here we go.
For the sake of the kid, for the deed. Y'all got it. So let's celebrate. Come on, Calvin, let's do this.
Thank you.
yet, see, for all of us this new year. Amen. Hey, Pastor Leroy.
But I forgot to unmute myself. Pastor Ken, this is Pastor Leroy Jackson. In case nobody out there knows, I reside in the Bronx, man. And let me tell you this. It is cold here, man. We got hit this week with over 10 inches of snow, man. We got 3 inches of snow on Monday night. And tonight we got another 7 inches of snow here, man. I was out there shoveling snow with my grandkids earlier, man. I nearly had a freaking heart attack, man. But let me tell you something. I do what I got to do, man, to take care of my property. You know, it's funny. You know what's funny there, Pastor Ken? When you get a lot of snow, right, you call your son to a, you know, like I'm a 60-year-old man. I call my sons who are both in their 40s. I said, come on, man. How come you don't pick up your phone during snowstorms, man? I wanted them to come on over and help me. But you know what? They don't do that. So during snowstorms, they never answer their phone, man. That's how I get treated, man. Yeah.
That's terrible.
But my grandkids,
that's so terrible.
You know, yeah, my own sons, man, they're but a bunch of little pricks, man. But anyway, that's beside the point. Then we're going right into another night. How you doing? Happy 2024. My brother, Pastor Ken, who I've known for 5 years, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, my brother, Pastor Leroy. Okay, I was wondering how you were doing this new year, because I hadn't heard from you in such a long time. We got Pastor Kent with us tonight, too.
Well, that's fantastic, because Pastor Kent and I have an announcement to make tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Bring him on. Bring on my brother, man. Pastor Kent
and
I have been talking a lot lately. Pastor Kent and I have been chatting offline. We chat on the phone. We talk on my cell to his cell. Pastor Kent and I are brothers.
Amen.
Are you there, my brother?
Yep, I am. It's just there was somebody at the door. I had to answer the door, so no worries. Yeah, I'm here.
So, the announcement, before we do anything else tonight, my brother, Pastor Ken, my brother from another mother, Pastor Kent, and I have decided we are going to restart our show, and that's going to happen 2 weeks from tonight on February 2nd. And we want to welcome all the people to come back to our show, because it's him and I. We're going to have a great Christian show. It's going to start in 2 weeks. We are rejuvenating the entire Father's House program. So,
all right.
We hope you will join us for that.
Yeah.
On
now,
that note, Pastor Kent, what's your opinion on that, my brother?
Well, I'm happy about it. And just so you know, Pastor Ken, that we're going to be doing shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the rest of the week, I'll be here.
Okay.
So,
that sounds great.
He and I's going to do shows on the weekend, and then we'll meet up with you through the week. It's just with school, it has to coincide, as I do a lot of classes through the week. Sunday,
right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have at least one class a day. So I will be here whenever I can. All right, and then on Friday, what we'll do is, if Pastor Leroy is in agreement, we'll do an earlier show, and then we can be on here with you Friday, Saturday, so we can have a double whammy on that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
No question about that. I think, you and I, Pastor Kent, we're gonna get the timing down. I think it's going to be somewhere around 6 p.m. Eastern time, maybe 5 to 6 p.m. We'll talk about that off the air. But, yeah, I mean, when the show restarts, it's not going to interact at all with your show. Pastor Ken, we don't want to be an enemy to you. We want us to work together on Blog Talk Radio. We do our show early. You do your show later. Man, it's like a doubleheader. It's like, you remember the days back when, let's say the 1980s, man, when we had Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, all on the same night, and then it finishes with Welcome Back, Cotter. I mean, come on, man. It doesn't get much better than that, guys. You remember that. You got to remember that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good time.
Right. So that's what I want this to be. I want this to be starting with Pastor Kent and me and then finishing with Pastor Ken. But we're going to come on your show too, man. Because we love you,
brother. Yes, I'll be on your show. Okay.
You have to remember something here. But don't forget about one of the best shows that was on during that time, which was Happy Days.
Hey!
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got a sermon prepared for everybody. Okay.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
It's called Jesus.
Let's hear it, my brother.
It's called Jesus and the Law, and it's on a series of sermons called The Principles of Kingdom Living, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Think that not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass the law, till all be fulfilled. Our society is governed by a set of laws that are in place to keep good order and discipline. From a national or political perspective, we have elected officials who are referred to as lawmakers, and the responsibility is to ensure laws are established for a betterment of society. From a spiritual perspective, we have Moses, the lawgiver, and was used by God to present the laws to the people. It was God himself who established laws for mankind and made them initially available in Exodus 20. So which is where we find the Ten Commandments? I will go on record again and say that they are not the Ten Recommendations, but are commandments from God, who is the creator of everything. For the most part, people abide by laws of the land, and because of that, they don't have to worry about looking over their shoulders. Please, or wherever you're going.
No matter to me, man. You can take your shit and pack it up.
Man. Okay, hold on, man. I have to do some muting here. Okay? All right. Okay, sorry about that. I think it's most important for us to understand that when it comes to the Bible, the New Testament reveals the Old Testament. Jesus came to be a fulfillment of the law and the prophets and take care of the requirements for salvation. Because of his approach to the law, the gospel, many people accuse him of destroying the word of God. What they didn't understand was that his purpose was to set the record straight and take the necessary steps to make sure the law was fulfilled just as the scripture said they would be. So people had a problem with Jesus because he was making sure the law was followed as established. There is nothing new under the sun, as we're living in a day and a time when people want to do things their own way and push aside the laws of God and the land. It's interesting to me that most of the laws in our penal code have their foundation in the Ten Commandments. God's laws are right. God's laws are fair, and God's laws are needed for our society. If his laws are not followed, chaos, confusion, and rebellion will begin to be the norm in the land. We have chaos in our society right now, and a recent verdict, okay, that happened with Trayvon Martin trial, where people had started riots, looting, and destroying property. We have confusion in society right now with the recent decision of the Supreme Court of the United States regarding same-sex marriage. We have rebellion in our society right now with the laws on the books that people blatantly break on a daily basis. In the natural, when we break the law and are caught, we are held accountable for that law. When it comes to God's law, we are also held accountable for breaking it. The key to all is to know what the law is and do your very best to abide by God's law. See, Jesus knew the law and showed us how to abide by the law. In our selected text, Jesus is dealing with the fact that some have accused him of trying to destroy what God established. People have a tendency of doing things like that when their intent is to do what they want to do, regardless of the established laws. The preachers outlined in Sermon Bible writes, every generation has its proponents who feel that Jesus emphasized love and de-emphasized the law. Many have felt that the trust of Jesus is love and forgiveness, and the afterthought is law and justice. As a result, many have felt less obligated to follow God's law. They have felt freer to live a looser life and to do as they wished. They further go on to say, therefore the law has clear restrictions and obligations, and its demand for obedience are minimized, and what is called love and forgiveness is emphasized. So we can see that in fact that people have said the government does not have the right to tell somebody who to love. Jesus told us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but did not tell us to love them with the same love that we have for our spouses. There's a difference. I want to focus on the fact that Jesus is the epitome of keeping the law and the prophets and lived a life reflective of that. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law. The law was established to teach mankind how to live a holy and righteous life. Wow. Because sin had entered the world. The law had to be established to provide us with guidelines to live by. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some say that the law was impossible to keep. But Jesus showed us that it was possible to do so. Many times we want to hide behind our humanity in order to do what we want to do. But if we really took a look at ourselves, we will find that we are spirit beings made in the image of the likeness of God. And John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus embraced and put his flesh in subjection and lived a sinless life. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 24 says, for even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who was revealed not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who is his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes we are healed. So Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the prophets. God had to bring in the Savior in such a way that man could not take credit for it. When he created man, he formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him that he's become a living soul. now with the Messiah, he had to do something that would confirm identity of the Messiah. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born supernatural. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we find, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, which reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found child of the Holy Ghost." So the prophet Micah prophesied where Christ would be born. He foretells in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, though little among the thousands of Judea, yet of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from the old, from everlasting." So this was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, which says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." So the Bible also teaches us that the Messiah would suffer for the sake of mankind. Again, we find in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So this was fulfilled in John chapter 19, verse 1, which reads, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." The word "scourge" in this verse comes from the Greek word, which means to whip or to lash as a public punishment. So Jesus fulfilled the prophets. Jesus will fulfill the word. In verse 18, Jesus says, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law, to all be fulfilled." A jot was the smallest letter in the Hebrew language, and a tittle is the smallest ornament placed upon certain Hebrew letters. So if you leave out a jot or a tittle, you change the meaning and impact of the word or phrase. For example, if you take the apostrophe out of the letter gods, you have multiple gods instead of something that belongs to God. Well, Jesus is telling us that whatever God has put in place will happen, and whatever Jesus has promised will come to pass. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 19, "We shall destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up." When he made this statement, he was not talking about a building, but rather his body and death. The Apostle Paul verifies this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 or 4, which reads, "For I am delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." But Jesus also made a promise that we could all look forward to when he said in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also." So I said all that to say this. We may not agree on how the law or justice is rendered here in America, but we have one that can turn to who is the righteous judge and king who will rule appropriately and fairly. We don't have to be upset behind his ruling because his ruling will be right. He is Jesus Christ.
You had your name, and there was another person who had the exact same shame about a strawberry and dirt.
Jesus Christ, he can't make a bad decision. Jesus Christ, and he will fulfill all righteousness. We need a Savior, and he came on the scene. We need a deliverer, and he came on the scene. We needed a healer, and he came on the scene. We needed a provider, and he came on the scene. We needed a protector, and he came on the scene. We needed a shepherd, and he came on the scene. He's Jesus Christ, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was crucified for your sins and mine. He was buried for your sins and mine. And he rose early on a Sunday morning with all the power in his hands for your sins and mine. And he's coming back one day as the King and the Judge. Amen. And I hope you got something from today's sermon. Amen. Alrighty. Okay. Pastor Kent, what did you think of that?
Pretty awesome.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
Okay. Do you want to talk on Revelations?
No, because I'm late, so...
I'll
just do one sermon tonight.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. All right, well, we got a... Okay, how about you do an altar call for us, Pastor Kent?
Certainly. I can do that.
Okay.
If you've wondered where you will spend eternity and you're afraid... Well, I can tell you this. There's one person in this world that will make that all go away. It says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned. In Revelation 3:10, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. It's a very simple thing. Just say, Father, forgive me for my sins. I accept your gift of eternal life. Take my will and my life. Show me how to live. In the Yeshua's precious name, we ask this. Amen. Now, if you'd like to call in, you could do that. And the number is, Pastor Ken? I don't have it up.
657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press the 1 key, and I will bring you on. Okay? And we also want to say, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God, if you said that prayer. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we got some callers here, Pastor Kent, Pastor Leroy. Let me bring Pastor Leroy back on. Okay. Hey, Pastor Leroy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's going on, my brother?
Nothing much. We got some callers here. Well, let's take them and see what we have. One.
Sirianni.
Oh.
Okay, that's enough of that one.
I'm hanging in there. I'm getting better. I just wanted to call in and say I appreciate your show. I'm not calling in to swear. I know you get some funny callers. And you know what? Be honest with you. I actually find some of those calls entertaining and once in a while funny. But I wanted to call in. I heard that Leroy and Kent are going to reboot their show. I'm happy to hear that. I used to enjoy Father's House, but I got to a point where I did not enjoy it, and I stopped listening to it. But I'm glad it's coming back. And my question is, and I hope Kent is going to do this, I hope Kent will take some calls, and I hope Kent will have a chat room. And if he gets a call he doesn't like, he can hang up on the people. But here's the problem. A lot of people don't go to church anymore. Why? Well, they're bored. They don't. It's they can't stand it. And so my point is this. Can you do a good show? You mix in the godliness with a little bit of entertainment, and you're able to keep an audience. It keeps us awake. And I hope that Ken and Leroy will take calls and will have a chat room so that the show is palatable, so that we can actually want to tune in. And I think that adds to it. And like I said, if he gets a swearing person calling in, hang up on him. But I hope that he allows people to call in. I don't call in very often, but once in a while, I feel comfortable talking to Ken. I feel comfortable talking to Kent. I don't know Leroy that well, but, you know, I think he's an all right guy from what it sounds. But anyway, I won't take any more of your time, but I just hope that he keeps the lines of communication open and that we keep these shows going. I think it's important for a lot of us out there that enjoy these programs and spreading the good word. So I'm glad to hear Kent is bringing the show back. And thank you, Ken, for always doing a great show and taking our calls. Even if you get some goofy calls, you talk to all of us, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Ken.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Hey, thank you.
Absolutely.
All righty. Okay. Keep coming back, Mike. You're always welcome here. Okay, let's take some more callers here. 111, you're on there.
Yo, Pastor Kid, how y'all doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just called in to say hello. Love your show. Keep preaching the word of God. The word
Amen.
Of God is powerful. Amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen. You got any more callers?
Yes, I do. I have another caller here. 111. Okay. Try another one. 111. All righty. Well, let's give a shout-out to Juan and his kinfolk, because they're listening out there, okay, in radio land. Okay, glad you constantly listen to the show. Amen, and God bless. All right, let's play some. Oh, wait a minute. We take another call here. 111. Okay. Enough of that silliness. All right. Let's play some more great gospel music. Okay. Let's play Rise, You Are God by William Murphy. A place called Victory by Dion Kipping. And Live by Marvin Sapp.
But the girl gives, oh yeah, you know she gives. You know, amen, she gives. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you.
I can tell you about change. I've been We have to believe.
Amen. What a beautiful singing there was right there. Amen. That was Live by Martin Sapp. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to say good night, everybody. God bless. Okay. Give a shout out to everybody. Mike Hunt, Ashley, Brother Ardash, Gavin Moorhead. And thank you, all you callers tonight. Okay, thank you, Pastor Troy.
Thank you, Pastor Kid. Thank you, Pastor Kid.
Well, you're so welcome, sir. You're always welcome to call my shop. Always.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Yeah, keep coming back. It's better every day. Amen. Well.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to say good night, everybody. God bless. And see you tomorrow night. We'll have another good show. We'll see who's going to join us. All righty. Good night.